Secretary General, welcome to Conversation With.
Very good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hollywood tends to describe Interpol as, this transnational force that can go around, guns blazing, getting the bad guys from different, exotic locations, Zurich, Berlin, Singapore. Mm. Is that actually the case, though? What sort of jurisdiction does Interpol actually have in the member countries?
We don't have Interpol agents, let's say, traveling around the world and catching criminals. That's not our responsibility, not our mandate. So we don't have executive powers. We don't make arrests and we don't make seizures. But of course, we support our member countries in doing exactly this and to have the information available for targeted operations. So we are an information broker, let's say. We are a platform where law enforcement on a global level has the opportunity to share relevant information. And it's more important than ever in the fight against terrorism, organized crime, cybercrime, that, for instance, information from Europe, from Africa, from Latin America, from the Americas is available in Asia for targeted operation against criminals and vice versa. It's important to have information from other parts of the world available at border stations. So to dismantle terrorist travel.
With all these massive attacks, from WannaCry to all the ransomware, it gives the ordinary person the impression that the police are on the back foot, at least when it comes to these very massive attacks. Is Interpol on the back foot when it comes to cybercrime?
I think Interpol is more important than ever. The examples you've been mentioning, WannaCry and Petya, quite recently stand for, let's say, a new unprecedented threat level the world is facing with regards to, of course, cybercrime, but international terrorism should also be mentioned, organized crime should also be mentioned. A new dimension in terms of complexity, a real international global dimension, and that requires a globally coordinated response. And actually, this is very much what Interpol is about. It's connecting 190 member countries who have the main responsibility in fighting crime nationally. But with regards to cyber, national crime doesn't exist anymore. Almost all the crimes committed have an international dimension. So that requires police, national police, but also regional police more than ever to cooperate on an international level. And Interpol is the platform to bring all the experts, the national law enforcement agencies and the investigators together, coordinating their response both in terms of prevention and in terms of investigation, enabling real global response and bringing actually criminal behind bars.
If we were to rate 10 as being, terrible attacks all getting through, and one being the perfect world where we don't have any cyber attacks at all, where would we be, let's say, in this whole scale of 1 to 10? How severe are things now? Are we at 5? Are we at 8?
Things are very severe, and I have to say the threat level, unfortunately, is increasing. So we see an increase in cyber attacks, in very sophisticated cyber attacks, and the landscape is changing. When, let's say, a couple of years ago, perhaps, you have had these people who were specialists in cyber, who were committing these kind of attacks, hacking attacks. Nowadays, with the help of the underground, the so-called underground economy, you can buy a lot of tools. Even I myself, I'm not an IT expert, but I could simply buy the tools to build up a botnet or to start a hacking attack in the underground economy with a little money. I can partner with other specialists in the criminal arena to set up attacks. So it has become more easy, and the numbers are going up significantly
in terms of the number of
attacks. Perhaps we are closer to the upper
7, scale. 8 rather than the 5,
7,
four.
8, and I'm afraid to say the threat level is going to increase as we see these, of course, tremendously positive developments in new technologies, the Internet of Everything, that in the future perhaps everything, my clothing, my health data are connected to the Internet, but also our critical infrastructures are hyper-connected, and that provides unprecedented opportunities for criminals with whatever motivation to attack the systems, and of course, staying back home, sitting on the sofa, let's say, in the pyjama, if I may say, just with a laptop and just with a click and a mouse, to attack systems all over the world. And this is definitely a new dimension. It's a new complexity law enforcement globally is facing.
Recently, we've also seen that data is being held hostage by criminals. So now they take information, just as you said, about your clothing, about your shopping, everything, and they hold that hostage and ask for sums of money for it. Do you think, though, that we are going to see terrorists using that as well, where they don't hold just human beings hostage, they will hold our data hostage as well?
At least we have to be prepared. We still see all around the globe that terrorists are using, let's say, classical instruments, if I may say, so weapons, trucks, knives, so to attack the most vulnerable people in our societies. And the recent attacks have shown, unfortunately, that they even attack children and young people at concerts and on the streets. The attacks with cars and even trucks, again, they have given proof. But at least we have to prepare that terrorists are perhaps using also more aggressively the cyber world for their attacks. The example you've been describing is one of the possible scenarios, but also attacking our critical infrastructures in our society, so water supply, the healthcare system, the energy system. So our modern world is more and more hyper-connected. And again, that provides opportunities, of course, also for terrorists to attack these systems and with whatever motivation at the end of the day. And governments and societies and private companies who are running these critical infrastructures really need to invest in protecting their systems. And again, the recent examples, WannaCry, Petya, have been shown that the private sector needs to be more active in really using basic tools to protect the system. And a lot can be done with basic protection and to prevent these kind of attacks from taking place. It's totally different from what I learned when I was a young police officer decades ago.
One of the key things for all illicit activity, though, is the funding, isn't it? And now they're using things like Bitcoin, other forms of abstract types of money. Would it not be a solution to actually have everything registered? Because if you take away the anonymity, then we'd be much, much easier to trace. And that would, in fact, take a lot of the sort of say gas out of the balloon for a lot of illicit activities. So, will we see more registration for things like Bitcoin?
So, this is a discussion that is required on a political level. What we try to do at Interpol is to help investigators around the world to successfully dismantle criminal activity in the cyber world. I mean, Interpol's role primarily is to support its member countries in investigating in the cyber environment, which is a completely new challenge. It's a new criminalistic 4.0, if I may say, totally different from what I learned when I was a young police officer decades ago. You know, the challenge for us was perhaps to identify fingerprints at a broken window or a door, or to preserve a footprint in snow. That have been the challenges at that time. Today we are talking about the cyber world, again, which requires a new expertise. It requires a lot of training and the right equipment for the police agencies. We have to build a strong global chain against this global phenomena of crime. So the chain is as strong as its weakest link, and we provide a lot of training and capacity building to help law enforcement globally to tackle that phenomena. Regulation, that's a point, of course, first and foremost for the lawmakers.
But don't you make any recommendations to politicians in terms of also when you meet politicians, when you're traveling around Asia, for example, at this time, they must be asking you this question. And I'm sure that you would have to give them some kind of answer.
Absolutely. That's definitely the role of Interpol, let's say, as a global voice of policing to inform the lawmakers about the problems we are facing.
And make recommendations as well?
And we do that. Some recommendations, for instance, the problem law enforcement globally is facing with regards to anonymization and encryption. So that's more difficult than ever to find investigative leads in the cyber arena, where very often tools are used by criminals which provide a kind of encryption, anonymization by design, actually, where the opportunities for law enforcement to start investigations are quite limited and sometimes very difficult. And that's something where we have to inform, of course, so lawmakers to deal with and to help us solving this issue.
So it would be preferable to see more registration?
Registration helps again, and we have to indicate the problems we are facing, but at the end that requires a discussion in our societies, also how to balance privacy and security. And of course our role is to describe the problems we are facing, and at the end the lawmakers have to provide the solutions also with regards to the legislative basis of police work all around the globe.
Companies like Facebook have been accused of not doing enough to fight terrorism, even things like crime. What do you think? What kind of legislation or rules do you think that commercial companies like Facebook ought to have that would make them also be able to respond to this better? And to perhaps, for example, the classic one, take down these various web pages that are related to terrorism or related to crime. What would you like to see?
I mean, first of all, I have to say that fighting crime, both in prevention and investigation, is not just a task of policing globally, of the police forces, let's say. It's a social responsibility, it's a societal responsibility, and it requires a holistic approach, a comprehensive answer. So everybody has to be involved. The social media companies and networks, of course, have also a social responsibility to help law enforcement and the governments to identify criminal activity. And we see, of course, that these platforms are playing a major role in radicalization, in spreading, for instance, terrorist propaganda. So they have a role in helping the police identifying this criminal content.
Do you think they're helping you enough? Are they helping the police enough? Are they helping Interpol enough?
We have some ideas how to do even better. So this partnering between law enforcement, between governments and the private sector, social media platforms specifically, is becoming more and more important. But again, we have some ideas to increase that level of cooperation, and there is a need to increase, because also this phenomenon, this part of the complexity, unfortunately, is growing.
Are you satisfied with their response?
It's a challenge, to be honest, in terms just of it's a massive problem, because we know that in the internet the opportunities for criminals are vast. It's a challenge to identify and to track and to get these content out of the internet, let's say. But we also have to think about innovation, to use modern technology to identify this criminal content, and using technology to get it out of the internet, actually.
Is Interpol actually in contact with the intelligence agencies of the various countries? Because, of course, you coordinate things for the police, but intelligence agencies, because of the fact that there's now a pretty great blurring between a criminal and a terrorist, are you in contact with the intelligence agencies of the various countries?
Our main partners are the law enforcement, the police agencies in our 190 member countries. In every single of these 190 member countries, we have a so-called National Central Bureau. This is our main point of contact. So we are a police organization, and we cooperate with the police agencies in our member countries.
But therefore not the intelligence agencies, not at least formally?
That's an issue that needs to be decided on a national basis, whether there's exchange on a national basis, and at the end the agencies allow a piece of information to be shared with Interpol and other agencies.
So you may get information from intelligence agencies, but not directly from them. It would be through the national basis.
And it's always on the basis of the national legislation, of course. We see that specifically in the cyber arena, that's what research tells us, about 90% of the crime that occurs is not reported to police.
When you are in an individual country, isn't there some difficulty sometimes, though, with the definitions of what is a crime? A crime may be a crime in a particular region or territory, but not a crime in another area. Does this make it difficult to coordinate?
Sometimes it creates some difficulties if, let's say, crime definitions are different or a certain behavior is not a criminal offense in any country. But of course, harmonization, standardization is a big issue, and many efforts have been done in the past, let's say, to harmonize. And there's a certain agreement with regards to terrorism, organized crime and cybercrime. That is a good platform and a good basis for police cooperation. So sometimes it creates some difficulties. Also, of course, the diversity in terms of the legal situation in general. But on the other hand, again, Interpol with the global platform connecting 190 member countries, that's a perfect way to enable at least basic communication, to make sure that evidence is preserved and that then in a later stage a judicial procedure in a classical way can start. And we have been able, specifically in the cyber arena, to lead and to coordinate some really not just transnational, but transcontinental operations. And I just can encourage, for instance, companies or even private people who have become victim of cyber attacks, for instance, to report these incidents to police. We see that specifically in the cyber arena, that's what research tells us, about 90% of the crime that occurs is not reported to police. And I think one of the reasons is that perhaps it's not always clear what police exactly is doing with the information.
But 90%?
Perhaps 90%. That's at least
that's incredibly high.
That's incredibly high. So perhaps this is the crime phenomena which is the most underreported to police, which is one of the problems. So again, I also would like to take this opportunity to encourage specifically companies, but also private people, to report their crime, go to police. Police can help. Police can take, of course, care of certain specificities and systems that need to be protected in the private system. So there is a cooperation and kind of education is obviously needed between law enforcement agencies, police agencies, and companies, for instance, to say, you should report to police. Police is taking into consideration your security needs, and police operations are successful if you report crime and you help starting an investigation.
What about the very awkward situation, though, where people don't even know that a crime has occurred? Data has been stolen. They don't even realize it. Or money has even been taken away from them, but perhaps in these very small amounts, so they don't know it's been siphoned off.
Might happen. Might also be responsible for some of these percentages I've been mentioning, that, let's say, companies, for instance, specifically small and medium-sized enterprises, do not have the tools in place that they become aware, or they become aware at a very later stage that they have been hacked, their data have been stolen, for instance. But again, at any stage where companies become aware they have become victim of a cyber attack, please report that police, contact your police station, discuss how to start investigation, how to protect the systems on the one hand and make sure that the company can continue running the operations. But on the other hand, a discussion is also needed how to preserve the evidence, because that's important that then to start hopefully a successful international police operation and to catch the criminals.
Secretary General, what do you do to protect yourself on the internet?
Fortunately, a good team that helps protecting our Interpol systems, of course, and also providing advice how I can protect my own personal systems. So the smartphones I'm going to use, the communication devices I'm going to use, and that's our collective responsibility, again, to use the updates, use state-of-the-art software that helps protecting the systems. That's an important part of preventing cyber attacks from
Do you put a little sticky tape over your camera on your computer?
I've seen that a number of times, but my systems are protected that they cannot be used, let's say, remotely controlled for any attack. But again, we all should take these threats very serious. And again, with our societies continuing developing these technological steps and new steps, new developments, it's important that we raise the level of awareness. We have to start very early, maybe in schools, maybe even in the kindergarten, but definitely companies to raise the awareness at all levels.
Secretary General, thank you very much for being on Conversation With.
Thanks again for having me.